my family already knew.
My dad is still, I wrote an exam.
Are you serious? Like literal exam.
My dad was
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I know my uncle
A three-page exam on why I want to marry Kenan.
You write something.
Are you serious?
Yes, no, I'm not joking. It's not. I still have the letter. I'm going to frame. I'm going to put it in a nice frame.
Your children must see it.
And they must do the same to them, to the girls they are looking for. They will write, and anybody coming to marry my daughters must write their own letters. No, because I'm almost like, I'm understanding what you're saying. So you have to go and pen it down for me. Why do you want to marry Kenneth?
Are you serious?
And why don't you want to marry Kenneth?
This is actually fascinating. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Bro,
I'm just remembering.
Did you know that would happen?
No.
She never knew. They never even
showed. Did it happen to any of your other
They didn't get that far. Oh, do you mean my... I was young. I didn't know the process.
But... So they gave me a date to submit the... So let's say I met with both our parents on Wednesday. They said submit it Friday, 2 p.m., for example.
Yeah, the Turnitin exam.
So I went to my... I told my dad, I'm like, Daddy, I thought he was your friend, that this thing would just be
easy.
Two families meeting. My dad said, you see, if you want to marry, you go and write. If you don't want to marry, you go to school. Please, let's discuss business. So as soon as he said that, I knew it was game time, like for real. So I went down. Why do I want to marry this girl? And I just did a nice framework, mental framework, put out 5 different points, and then I broke it down, submitted the letter to her mom on the Friday. I didn't hear anything from her. Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I said, Kenny, is your mom around? She said yes. I said, I've lost. If I submit my answer Friday, and Saturday, Sunday, Monday, no answer.
The examiner has not said anything.
Nothing. You must have failed now. They don't know how to tell you. So Tuesday morning came and my mom was like, my husband wants to see you again. So I went and then he said to me, you're now entering the zone of positive path.
Is that what he said?
That's what he said. And positive path means things have to move very seriously now or forget about it. So if my daughter does not tell you she wants you in the next 2 months, please, don't be coming to my house again. So I was on that crunch time. But why I wanted to reference this is because I want to know the similarities in... Because I feel we Igbos, we've lost our culture a little bit, right?
Also.
For example, people don't want to... Your phone is ringing. People don't want to get married in the East. They feel insecurity is a big issue. We just did a very successful wedding. Nothing happened to anybody. Yeah. ABC Ojako did one earlier on in the year. Nothing happened to anybody. But we've lost our culture because, for example, my brother, I went to the East to pay bride price, but he did his own in Lagos. Why are we losing that? But however, when he paid bride price in Lagos, it was ceremonial because why? We had to send elders from our village to go to her own village to do all of that. But then imagine we, the younger ones, what we are learning from this process is to lose our culture, right? Because we wouldn't remember these things to actually be done when it's time to do it to our own kids. So I'm trying to understand, and that's why when he said, oh, he proposed a year later, I was trying to understand, were your families involved? Did you have to pay bride price first? Did you have to take the drink? Or it was just a situation where, you know, you proposed and then it was, okay, let's now follow the tradition.
I tried to do the same thing your brother did, where, you know, sent uncles and my dad to the village and they got there and her dad is like,
where's the guy?
Where's the person that's getting married? And they're like, oh, that's why we're here. We're representing him, you know. That's so that they will go. It's not going to work. That they have to see the person.
Bam, I like
period. And this was in the village, so he has to fly.
So I literally booked, I had to buy a ticket that day.
That day.
Damn.
Hop on the flight.
Energy.
To Asaba.
Love it.
Anambra Airport at the time.
At the time, yeah.
And, or was it even Owerri? I think it was Owerri.
Even further down.
Yeah. And I drove down that day to the house. And I went back the next day with my family.
Crazy.
And so I hear you. And I think as much as it was frustrating at the time, because I didn't travel because I was working. And I was just like, why the hell is it that deep?
It's deeper.
But I'm also very traditional in a very weird way.
Because,
and my dad is more so, and my father-in-law as well. So I think that made sense to them. And my dad was like, of course they have to see you. Because that was the reason why I even got out of it. My father wanted me to come. I kind of found my way out. So he's like, well, see it now. Now you have to go. So, and growing up, and growing older, I guess, has made me appreciate those things more. As I've always said, as I've grown older, I've become more fiercely Igbo. And it's not to any other person's detriment. It's just the pride in
your history. You're
very Igbo.
Yeah, people see this thing I wear on my hand a lot, and they're like, if it's not this one, it's the red coral beads. And it's just like, you wear whatever brand labels you're wearing, I see where this. I'm like, yeah, it's the one thing I used to, if it's a conversation starter or whatever it is, but it's for me to still keep identifying, you know, where I'm from.
Your roots.
And I know that it's going to be a lot on us. Very hard, but it's a lot on us to keep the culture going. With my kids now, I know how hard I try to speak Igbo to them when I can.
Can they speak?
They understand.
Yeah.
The older one speaks a little, the younger one not fully, but they understand. And it has to be a conscious effort.
Of course.
You know, these were things we took for granted going.
Right.
Yeah.
People are speaking it around you anyways. Right. You pick up as you go.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now it's even thinner. Like, it happens much less around them, learning the culture, like you said, knowing what these things, why they matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, this whole thing of us always having to go back home, you know, at certain periods in the year. Mm. I mean, insecurity is making it harder, but, you know, these are things that we're going to, I hear you. Mm-hmm. It's just going to take a lot more deliberate work.
It will.
But are you guys like a traditional couple where obviously the man has to provide?
Speaking of tradition.
Yes. The man has to provide
as an Igbo man, yes.
Like I said before, I'm very big on, like, if I'm with someone, they have to know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to provide. Who's going to provide me?
Can you rely on me to provide?
Fair. Like, I would do what I can, you know, but I've never seen that as ideal. Mm. It's just not what I want.
So, you know the way you say, oh, the man is the provider. Are you going to, like, be cooking?
Since he's provided.
Ugo doesn't even want any of that.
I don't want a kitchen.
He doesn't want
kitchen.
Yeah. So, which I'm happy because I don't.
You don't want a kitchen.
I don't want a kitchen. I didn't marry her to be in the kitchen.
Yeah, I
would appreciate it once in a while if she feels like she's in the mood to whip up something. She should feel free. I would eat if it's tasty. But I'm happy to watch her excel in her profession, do what really matters, and spend time on actual things that make her happy. If cooking makes her happy, please feel free to cook. Mm. If it doesn't, then please feel free to
not
cook. But one thing I would say is I'm happy to be the provider, which I feel is the responsibility of a man. But the beautiful thing is the planning, the support behind being that man is where I feel she helps a lot.
Cutesy.
which is the vibe. Because, you know, when two becomes one, yes, one can be the provider, but then that support system, which is another thing we learned in marriage counseling. Both of you are helpers to each other, right?
Yeah. So,
pretty much.
Marriage counseling is important. I didn't realize it was that important. But I feel like when you're talking to somebody else, they're able to see what could be issues and make you talk about it.
Yeah. So I think issues.
Yeah. It's an interesting one.
So if you can't provide, what happens?
He'll provide.
God forbid, but...
He'll provide. I cannot... It's not even just me. Ugo cannot sit down and not provide.
That's what I said.
Because I can't
imagine a day where I would have a functioning body like I do. I don't know.
And he can't do anything.
Do you understand? Like, my dad is handicapped. He has one leg. And with one leg, he has managed to
build something amazing.
Do you understand? Like, feed a whole family, raise 5 kids, support other people, be very, very, like, helpful to the world. So if I have everything that someone else doesn't, why can't I at least comfortably feed myself and my family, which is just a goal?
Yeah, that's just a lovely way to look at
it. I think it's a mindset, because some people, you know, might have maybe someone, God forbid, but somebody might fall sick and stuff like that. But I feel being able to succeed and excel, it's all in the mind. Something else that would bring somebody down, someone else would be like, this is not going to hold me back from, you know, going heads on and finding a way around it. So that's why for me, I don't see, you know, it's not about now, it's about the mindset. And I don't see a mindset where, okay, sit down and just be looking at me. and be wondering what's happening. There's no what's happening.
Bring money, you let's know. Eat.
If not, you'll go to the forest and come bring the food.
I'll do whatever. Is it do Uber? We'll do whatever as long as money comes in. Not Uber, just like, you know.
Yeah. What are you most...